Right. It is a dad's weekend, of course, this weekend, Father's Day and all that. So our science man here is going to tell us about that. That is Sean Duke. And then we're going to break for news and he's going to continue his conversation. But the science of dads.
The science of dads, yeah. Well, there's actually quite a lot involved. I suppose the main thing to say before I talk about the details of the science of it is that, you know, I suppose being a dad, what's happening these days, and I include myself in this, is that we're probably minding the kids more than we used, than men used to 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and you do have this stay-at-home dad phenomenon, etc. But
and is that the first time in anthropology or whatever? I mean, did men in the 3rd, 4th, 5th century, even pre-AD and BC, did they mind the kids?
Yeah, I think they did, because what the evidence is showing is that we know, we kind of instinctively know that women are biologically wired to have kids, and that, you know, there's body changes that go on, there's hormonal changes that go on around the time of birth and afterwards. And the interesting thing now is that researchers are finding that men are having some of the same changes going on. So, for example, the male hormone, which is testosterone, people might have heard of that, that actually makes men aggressive. You know, the more testosterone you have, the more aggressive you tend to be. Now, the interesting thing is that when you're trying to find a mate, this is from the male point of view, that it's quite handy having fairly high testosterone levels, and this helps with getting a mate and the masculine characteristics, etc. But when these guys, they find a mate and then their partner has a child, then the levels of testosterone fall way down. And they fall way down below the levels that you would expect for other men of their own age.
So what nature is doing is to sort of cut down the amount of testosterone so that the man will stay at home to nurture the baby, is it?
Yeah, well, to help with childminding, definitely. And this happens right across the board. For the vast majority of men, this happens. So it's not just for men that might have a feminine side or more of a feminine side. It's for all men, for all of us.
Well, you've given us a good taster there. We'll come back to it after the news. So there you go. Just directly after childbirth. So we will continue our testosterone, or the science of dads, with Sean Duke in just a few moments after we hear the latest news. In the meantime, we are talking to science man Sean Duke. He's a science blogger, science spinning dot.
Science, well, actually, it's called Science Spinning. So if you right. put it into the Google thing, just put in science, but it's SeanDuke.com.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And Sean is here, and he's talking to us about fatherhood because of Father's Day and all that sort of stuff, and the science of it, really.
More yeah. than anything else. Well, I was just before the news there, we're chatting about testosterone, you know, this hormone, this male hormone. And the interesting thing is that the kind of more macho guys, if you like, that have a lot of this testosterone, that helps with the dating game, if you like, you know, because it's associated with, I suppose, aggression and competition and those kind of qualities in men. But the interesting thing then, as we mentioned before the news, is that this falls off once the guy becomes a father, that the levels of testosterone drop way down. And this isn't just for one guy, this is right across the board. So this suggests that we know that women are kind of biologically wired for childminding, but this is an interesting one because it suggests that men are too, and that, you know, it's not a case of, say, back in the 1950s or wherever, where men were the breadwinners and women stayed at home. That actually is not the natural thing. Some people say that that's the natural thing. Actually, the science says it's not the natural thing, that the natural thing is that the men take part in the childminding.
But is the lower level of testosterone as well to help guys not go out flipping around looking for a bit on the side, like?
Maybe, yeah, that could be it. That could be it. But there's another thing that's just a very basic thing, that they that the guys with the higher testosterone levels, a very simple thing, the child is crying, the child is wailing over in the corner, and they did an experiment. The guys with the higher levels of testosterone just basically ignored the child. So, well, the testosterone levels have to come down if you're going to actually pay attention to the child. And
that phrase,
they don't respond.
Darling, your child is crying. And then later on, hey, that child is fantastic, takes after me on the sports there, fantastic. Yeah. You know, you can sort of have ownership depending on the circumstances.
Exactly, yeah. Or, the classic one in the middle of the night when you're exhausted, who's going to get up, you know? But, very, very interesting. So, you know, the whole thing modulates, and this drop-off, this fall-off in the hormones, That actually happens in the first couple of months after the baby is born. And then slowly, you know, when you really need, when the woman needs the help and the baby needs the care, that's when the guy kind of becomes less aggressive and more sympathetic towards the child. And then as the child gets gradually a little bit more independent, the father recovers the testosterone levels right back up again. So this, it's a kind of a balance, you know?
Do you know what my wife couldn't really understand? But I think it's not just me, but it's others. I could sometimes not even hear the baby crying.
Well, there you go. You must have very high testosterone levels.
It was just, no, you just, it was selective hearing.
Yeah.
It was sort of, I think mothers hear a particular frequency or something.
Well, they do. Definitely, you know, it's the same in our house, actually, that I just sleep right through, whereas Maria will wake up and she'll hear the kids. Or say if there's a group of kids, you're at a party, and there's all kinds of kids crying, you know, we were at one recently. Maria will say, oh, that's Bobby. I say, how do you know that? You know, there might be four or five kids crying at the same time. So, yeah, of course.
Siobhan is here, Siobhan Donnelly. What do you think, Siobhan, now, as a mum?
I think there's certainly a little bit of selective hearing where the guys come in at times.
Oh, you mean it's deliberate?
Like, oh God, no. Especially, you know, that 4 a.m. set, it's like, I can't hear anything. So I think, you know, you girls just got to play along with it too sometimes, you know.
Well, I not only not hear anything, I'm completely deaf. I don't wake up at all. So, yeah. But they say, you see it in the animal kingdom as well. You know the programme on about penguins, was it David Attenborough? Or it became a film, where I thought it was amazing that the mother, with all these little penguins, thousands of them, literally, they could find their baby in that big crowd.
Yes, yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
So obviously, we're part of the animal kingdom, and that's part of that story as well. But I think women seem to be better at that particular skill, in my experience.
So what happens as this develops, anyway, over from childbirth onwards with the guys?
Well, with the guys, obviously, you know, the interesting thing is that that really... I suppose the other thing I was going to talk about was, you know, that guys are more like women, if you like, when it comes to this whole child-rearing thing. You know, the biological clock, that was something I was going to mention, that they've done research on this. And, of course, we all know when it comes to women that the biological clock, and films have looked at it, like Bridget Jones, and you hit 35, which my sister is around that age, and she starts to feel nervous if you doesn't have a baby. Am I going to have a baby, right? But it seems that also there's the same thing in men. But we've always heard in the past, like you hear the stories of Charlie Chaplin, who was 70-something, he had a child, and men seem to be able to have a child right up until they're very old. But in actual fact, there's a big fall-off. They're finding that there's a big fall-off in male fertility as well. So say between the ages of 30 and 50 is what they looked at in this particular study. There was a 40% drop-off in male fertility. So it's harder for the men to actually have the babies, if you like.
So nature is intervening there as well.
Nature's intervening. Yeah. And the other thing is then, of course, that you do hear of mistakes, genetic mistakes as women get older, but you know that there's a risk of various genetic illnesses, Down syndrome, but there's a whole load of them, autism. But it seems now that with men also, if the fathers are older, and they don't have to be particularly old, like over 40, then there's a greater than 6 times chance of them having things like autism, for example, you know. So it's not just the women being older, there's consequences for the men being older too. So they also have a biological clock, I suppose, is my point.
Right.
I don't know if that comes as a surprise to anyone.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Because you don't expect, I suppose, the urban myth is that men can father kids up to really any age and, you know, would marry much younger women. And,
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
So you don't, I mean, I know when they talk about stress levels in males have changed over the years, and they talk about kind of a drop in fertility, and it's probably due to kind of the age that we're in and the way things have changed so much.
Yeah, that's a strange one, actually, that you mentioned there, because since really about the 1950s, male sperm count, they call it, but it's male fertility essentially, has been dropping every single year. And
but they were talking about tight trousers and all sorts of things.
But they don't know. But the thing is, it keeps dropping. And you'd wonder, where is it going to end? Are we going to end up completely infertile, or is it going to stop at some point?
I think there was a chat as well, wasn't there, about how people were very active, more active in their lives up to the 50s, 60s, because there was so much manual labour. People didn't sit around as much. So, you know, everything involved fetching water, getting vegetables, bringing in firewood. There was so much of that going on. And then our lives changed, you know, and everything's become automated. And, you know, they say that that's why, you know, there's so much more osteoporosis for women, so much of all you know, stomach.
Yeah, but you definitely hear of stories, say, of people fairly young that are having problems, lots of them having a child. You know, it seems to be quite common when you get chatting. So, I don't know, that seems to be, there must be something happening there we're not aware of. But the other thing, you know, this thing about depression and having babies. Well, that's another one where men actually, you know, it's always been on the side of women that you hear of baby blues or depression associated with having kids. But interestingly enough, because there's hormonal changes that are happening in men, as I just mentioned, that actually they are twice as likely to suffer depression as they would normally after a child. And of course this is completely unacknowledged, because, you know, what guy is going to admit that he has the baby blues?
You, he's
not going
to admit the baby. It. I had the baby. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that being discussed in the pub somehow.
No.
I'm watching the soccer and the other lads going to the other, do you have the baby blues?
Yeah.
I can't see that happening.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, the figures show that for guys in the United States where they did this study, and it was thousands of people, so, you know, you have to believe it if there's that high figures involved. 14% of men in the first 3 months after their child was born were experiencing depression, and like clinical depression. So that's very high, because the rate in the population is around 4%. So that, what's that? That's over three times higher.
I suppose you can see how, particularly with a first child, that life changes, and we all know that changes absolutely dramatically for the couple. And particularly, I've often felt it's not that it's easier, but the mother is the person that for the first couple of months looks after the child, gets the maternity leave, but the dad still has to pick up, go back out to work, carry on as if nothing happened. And but there is the pressure to get home, there is the night feeds, there is the crying, there is the whole change in their lifestyle, but there isn't really any acknowledgement there on that. So you can see how, yeah, particularly your first child, I think, how it would be a huge thing.
And women, of course, I think women are better at talking to each other.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like,
and
if a guy
mother's
is having
clubs,
trouble, he's not going to tell his mates about it. He's going to be talking about
whatever.
Just
get on with it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that kind of maybe puts more psychological pressure. And there's the sleep. I found with our first child, the lack of sleep was the real hard one.
Well, they say sleep deprivation is a form of torture. So, you know, if you do that and you still have to function in your normal day, put your smile on your face and don't talk about the baby blues or crying in the lift on your way up to work, you know, it's just...
Anyway, I hope all the dads get well looked after for Father's Day, anyway. Sean, thanks for coming in as usual this morning. Sean Duke, Science Spinning is on seanduke.com. And we'll see you back very soon. Thanks very much indeed, Sean. Good morning to you. I hope you get presents as well.
I hope I do too.
what's your eldest age?
He's 5 now.
5. Okay, so we might need a bit of help.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I'll give him help.
All right. Thanks very much indeed. Okay, Sean Duke.